Welcome back to Maxed Out. It is Tuesday, November 25th, Thanksgiving weekend, and we're looking full speed ahead to the Survivor Series War Games that's coming up. We also got the John Cena Last Time It's Now tournament still going, so we're going to kick the door open here and start talking about it. We also got our special guest, Anthony D. Vaughn, in the house. He hasn't been on the podcast for a while, so welcome back, Anthony.
Be back. Glad to be back. This is going to be fun. Right,
Jose, say hi to everybody.
He's doing folks out there. As my partner says, we got the great Anthony D. Vaughn in the house.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. All right, let's start talking a little bit about Friday SmackDown. Let's just start real quick. Dragunov has the USA title. He's doing what past USA title holders have been doing, open challenges. I love that. You get to see it. Some strange matches sometimes, matches that you're not used to seeing. So that's what I love about it. Anthony, I know you had mentioned to me about Ivan Dragunov. I didn't know nothing about him, you know? So I'll let you open the show. Tell me a little bit about Dragunov. What do the fans need to know? And what has he meant to NXT? And what do you think about his call-up? And he's past injury now. So go ahead.
So Ilya Dragunov is a dynamic wrestler. Matter of fact, he's a hard-hitting wrestler. He is bred in that UK style of like strong wrestling, and it's like in that same vein as your Gunther, your Walters, your Pete Dunne's. That's their style, right? And what's great about Dragunov is that he was part of that initial class of NXT UK, which had really good matches with Walter, who is now Gunther. And they tore the house down, right? That's why you see people always clamoring like, oh, I can't wait for Gunther and Ilya to have their match again, because they know like if they get in a ring, it's going to be magic. He puts his body, his heart, and so he makes you believe the match that you're seeing right now is like legit. He's out here not letting anything go. And he is one of those wrestlers, like if you want to make another wrestler, put him in a ring with Ilya, man, and he will give you a match. Matter of fact, look at the match we just had on Friday with JD McDonagh. McDonagh is, I would say, is probably this generation's Dolph Ziggler, right? He's a great seller, incredible worker, probably not going to get the recognition he deserves until he leaves WWE.
Goes back to normal size, right?
But like he works hard. He was really good in NXT as well. And I was really excited when he came up to the Judgment Day. I thought that would have been a great fit for him. It's just like he keeps having these starts and stops. And like I think if you keep letting him have these quality of matches, then yeah, it's gonna be great for JD McDonagh. But Ilya Dragunov is fantastic. It probably did him a service to have an injury for so long, to put him on the shelf for so long, because where he was on Raw, that scene was kind of crowded at the time. I think he got healthy at the perfect time, moved him to SmackDown, and I think having an open challenge where he can have all of these matches, because that's how you get over, right? With him as a talker, really. But I know they'll resonate with him having great matches. It did wonders for Gunther. It did wonders for Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is an incredible talker, but like put it on the quality of matches he can put on. It did wonders for Sheamus. That's why we still like gravitate towards Shinsuke Nakamura whenever he like feels like he's going to get a push, because he used to put on incredible matches. It's just like, yes, please let him wrestle. That's one of the reasons why Io Sky does so well, is because she's dynamic in the ring. It's that dynamicness that they have in the ring that just overshadows every other thing about them. That when they go in that ring, oh, you're about to see something incredibly special. Ilya Dragunov
I wish they would do what they do with the men's USA title for the female side, because Julia got robbed and she could have had open challenge. Absolutely. Great matches, because she's a great wrestler. Obviously she can't do promos as well, you know, being an Asian champion. We go back to this Asian champion problem, but they could have done that. Open challenges, just have her fight, show off her skills. But now it's on Chelsea Green and hopefully she does that.
Yeah, we had this conversation before with the women's US title. They could have done more to that title, you know, to add to it, like open challenges, like my partner said. But going back to Dragunov, we had this conversation, me and my partner, I think it was last podcast, about Dragunov, and I spoke about him for a little bit. Dragunov was one of my favorite NXT guys. That's when I started watching his performances. And I got to tell you, his in-ring prowess is amazing. I mean, from the NXT all the way to the main card. Now, with his injuries, you'd rather have that type of injuries early in your career than later in your career. For him to have that injury now, when he's just got started, I think it suits him better. It kind of let him watch from the sideline to get more knowledgeable on how to come back from it and what is he going to do when he comes back from it. So I think it only served him right mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely correct. I do want to say one thing about Julia. I think they were putting the right pieces around Julia. They gave her like a manager and Katana James to act as her advocate, and she's a great talker, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, so I think they were doing that. I think one of the weaknesses of Triple H is, and there's a bunch of things that he could be doing, is that he doesn't allow his champions to wrestle unless it's special occasions, like pay-per-view or like the open challenge. Like, he just doesn't allow for his champions to go out there and wrestle. That was one of the problems with EO's championship. She didn't wrestle for like a couple months, right? And it was like, yeah. Why did you put the championship on her, on somebody who lives and breathes off their in-ring ability, and don't allow them to go out there and defend their championship? It's almost becoming a problem with Stephanie Valkyrie, because like, she's just wrestling the same two people over and over again. One thing I can say about the wrestlers who are having a little bit of trouble speaking English, like, I think it does them a better service if you do like the vignettes and let them speak in their native language. And if they're out there on TV, let them speak on their native language. And then if they have an advocate, let their advocate speak for them.
Months ago, and it's a simple solution. Just put captions.
Yeah.
Just captions.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they did that a couple weeks ago, maybe like 3 weeks ago for Asuka. They had the captions below, and I was just like, oh man, they're doing it. And it worked so well because she was comfortable talking and we understood everything she was saying. I don't know why they don't continue that.
Yeah, piggybacking from what I was saying real quickly about Io Sky, all these wrestlers that are language challenged because of the language challenges that they have, their promo suffers. And if you're not wrestling, you're not showcasing their best side that they have. So therefore, you kind of like really lessening them as a wrestler because they're not showcasing what they're really good at, which is wrestling.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so one thing, getting back to Ilya. Ilya is special, and I think it's doing him a service right now is because you can showcase like what he's the best at, and that's wrestling, right? Eventually, they're going to have to give like a really good story for the U.S. title. I think that's what they're doing with the Tommaso Ciampa situation. I think that's where it's headed. I think that's where the story is going.
I find that real interesting that you brought that up. I've been looking at it very intensely to see what's going to happen. It's really intriguing what's going on.
Yeah, SmackDown hasn't been as strong, and that's one of the best things on SmackDown is their tag division and their factions within the tag division, because you got like the MFTs, you got the Y6, you got DIY, you got Motor City Machine Guns, you got, I'm missing a bunch of people. You got all of these individuals who are either fighting for the tag team championship, individuals who want to go after the U.S. championship, which makes it rich for a open challenge like this. You got the unexpected factors with people who are ready in NXT right now, who can get called up at any moment, and this will be a perfect launching point, like when Javon came up for the Sami Zayn. It's the perfect storm for this. And if they can do this, do it for the U.S. title. Because I think Chelsea Green can do it too, because she has this obnoxious chicken heel character. And if you want to do it, have her Secret Service trying to protect her and kind of keep the U.S. title alive. Like, I still think she should call it the Canadian title. I think that about every U.S. title, right? Whenever somebody who's not of U.S. descent, whatever country they're from, they should just call it that title. Is he Russian? So like Russian title.
It's really universal.
Yeah, like if Dom wins it, well, he's American, but he reps Mexico. That'd be hilarious. That'd be that would so be. And he's so over in AAA. That'd be God, so cool.
I love El Grande Americano. I love him.
Oh,
we all fell in love with it.
I love it. He's so over in AAA. It's insane.
I want to quickly talk about SmackDown. I do want to mention we had a couple matches for the John Cena tournament last week on SmackDown, and then a couple more matches yesterday on Raw. But one of the matches I want to mention is Carmelo Hayes defeated Bronson Reed by countout. Anthony, I don't know if you heard the podcast last week. Me and Jose, we put a predictions. Jose said it's gonna be
Solo Sikoa.
Solo Sikoa. And I said, I know. And I said it was gonna be Gunther. But the Intercontinental title kind of throws things out of the way because I don't think they're gonna put the Intercontinental title back on Gunther. So he's gonna have to lose it in San Diego before that. I thought for a second that Mr. Boston, John Cena, was going to maybe give Mr. Boston Carmelo Hayes a chance. So Carmelo Hayes won. He beat Boston. He beat Bronson Reed. And then last night, there was a moment when he was fighting Gunther where I was like, they're really going to do this? Man, but it didn't happen for Carmelo Hayes.
Look, I don't know if you saw the video I posted this morning, but part of that, when I was recording my reactions, when Gunther was coming out, I said, I'm about to either be very entertained and happy or very entertained and pissed off, because I was rooting for Carmelo Hayes so hard. All the BS he's been going through, it had to mean something. Right? Like, all of the setbacks, all of stuff that's been happening online, because, you know, Triple H can't stay offline to save his life. Like, it had to mean it was the perfect storm, right? It's in Boston. You have somebody that the fans really want. You can finally get him out of this sorry Miz storyline.
I was here for him.
I was like, it's right there. It's like, what better way to knock down one beast, right? Even though it did come out of a count out, which, whatever. But to knock down another beast, and then if we want to go into what happened on tonight, last night's Raw, going after Solo and knocking down a third beast in MFT.
If Carmelo Hayes would have won by count out, and it almost happened, right? But in last night's match. Even if he would have won by countout, I don't care. I don't care if he would have won by countout all the way up to John Cena and beat him by countout. But at least win that tournament.
I'm going to say this about Carmelo Hayes. That kid is such a talent in that ring. The speed and the proficiency that he shows in that ring, the high flying, the moves. You see Carmelo Hayes' matches, you are hardly ever going to see him missing a move in that ring. That's how dynamic he is in that ring.
He's so confident in himself, in his moveset, in how he moves, in his promos. He's there. He has it. And I think the only reason that people probably could talk about publicly without causing a serious debate of why Triple H won't push him is because he's small. And That's it.
He's a father-in-law, you know, forcing him to be a big guy, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, because, like, he was the man in NXT. And Shawn Michaels, you would think they would probably be on the same page.
Yeah, again, with me, with Dragunov, again, I saw all these guys in NXT, and I absolutely fell in love with these guys, because you can see when they're in that ring, they have no fear, man. They execute, and they execute well. And I mean, it's a joy to see them fight. It's a joy to see them that ring. I mean, it's a shame. It really is.
Roxanne Perez, Tiffany Stratton, Ilya Dragunov, all of these other people who got Bron Breakker, all of these people who got caught up around. He was a first round draft pick, if that means anything. And you have done nothing with him, right?
What are we doing?
I have a friend of mine, a friend of the podcast, Micah Misfit. She has her own podcast now, and she spoke about SmackDown being the B brand. And then she counted every black main wrestler on the card, and 10 of the 13 were on the B brand, SmackDown. And of the three that are on Raw, one of them is not even wrestling right now because she's pregnant. So it's like, you know, it always comes back down to, like, we don't want to call it something, but it may be something. You know what I mean?
The optics are really bad, right? My first instinct is never to go for, like, they're the race car, right? It's like, I always try to, like, even though I know the world we live in, I try to be like, there has to be something different. Because, like, I love this thing. And nah, don't do this to me. But, like, it's like, if you look at all of the Black superstars that get pushed, right? A lot of them are women, and I'm proud of our Black women that get pushed, right? And I think it's one of the reasons is that they don't threaten Triple H at all, right? That's one of the reasons why they get pushed so well, because to him, it's a non-factor, and it's solely on gender, right? When it comes to the men, we just look at the men. One of the only Black single stars we have is Carmelo Hayes. And you treat him like this, and it makes me so nervous and so I don't want to say scared, because I'm not scared, but like so apprehensive. If Javon get caught up, if Obafemi get caught up, if Ricky Saints get caught up, right? Like what are you going to do with these guys who are dynamic in NXT, right? The thing is like, people love Javon. That was like, they see Javon as a future. Is that going to be the case when he gets to the main roster? Is that going to be a case for, like,
I say something real quick?
Yeah.
You know, I was just watching, and maybe because I'm getting old, I'm watching a documentary on World War II, right? So I'm used to, I was having these little,
I love those
Nazi images, images in my head, right? And then I think of Gunther, right? Who's kind of, you know, like the, and is it weird that
the optics are bad, because like, you didn't have to put them in the same bracket, right? Because like, before they put out the bracket, we didn't know who was facing who when, and then next thing you know, bracket was like, okay, sure.
Yeah, it's just back-to-back Gunther's wins, man.
I'm going to say this, those statistics that, you know, our friend from, her name is Joe, the one that has the new podcast,
Micah Misfit. Yeah,
Micah Misfit. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Those statistics are speaks for itself, right? I mean,
mm-hmm. If you're curious who the other two people on Raw is, it's Naomi, and obviously she's not there. No. The other two people are the New Day.
Right. Yeah.
I'm gonna say this: if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it acts like a duck, it's a duck.
But the thing is, and just like Anthony said, it's like, you don't want to think it's true.
Right. Like, I watch wrestling to escape from the shit that's out in the real world. When I watch it, I'm watching it because championships, for the most part, is like the Oscars, right? It's like they're winning their Oscar because of the work that they put in, and the fans are behind them, and they produce really good work. It's an acknowledgement of like, okay, this person is the best person to be an ambassador for our brand. And if you can't see people who look like me as an ambassador for your brand, it looks bad.
That's a problem.
And I'm not saying that every Black person needs to be a champion. I'm just saying, like, there should be way more than, what, 5 Black WWE champion in your entire 65-year history? It makes no sense. Right.
And that being throughout the history of the WWE,
there is some
Black talent. And it just was left out.
Let's talk about Asian champions not being pushed, and then Black people not being pushed at all. The Latinos for a second.
Dominic Mysterio is going to be the greatest WWE superstar of all time. If he keeps on this trajectory, like, he's going to be special. He's going to be a main attraction. He's going to be loved by everybody. People are going to be talking about him in 20 years. When I was a kid, I was watching Dominic Mysterio, and he inspired... That man has it.
So you're going
to
say...
Oh, man. What is he? El Rey de Luchador. Los Luchadores.
Yeah,
he is that guy, man. And it's like, you love him. You want to boo him. He's charming in the ring. He's great outside of the WWE when he's talking about the product.
He's talking.
Yeah. He keeps kayfabe alive. He's doing double duty down in Mexico. That man is a trooper.
He's a workhorse,
man. I think that Roxanne Perez is going to be phenomenal if they just let her go at Maxine Dupri and she can get her an IC belt. I think they're going to tear the house down in that IC division now that it's wide open that Becky Lynch is gone. I think that Raquel Rodriguez, like, going after that main title, I think she's about to go past that main event. I think she's going to be freaking fantastic. It's funny, if you want to break kayfabe a little bit, that you have a German man who's playing an American man who's pretending to be a Mexican man in El Grande.
And he's dating a Barbie. And he's dating a Barbie.
Dating a Barbie. Yes.
I think they split up. I think he's dating the AAA ring now announcer now. I think
he
broke up. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you got that going on. Yeah. Yeah, she's single.
All right. So somebody got into his DMs. And it wasn't Charlotte.
Hey, you get everything I maxed out here.
You get everything here today. Wow. You gotta love it.
And it's so amazing. And like, I hate that Penta got hurt this past round.
We're
like
that.
Like it was about to be. I was wondering because Penta had his match on SmackDown. Ray Phoenix had a match on SmackDown. I'm like, why didn't they have a segment? Let me get the Lucha Bros.
And when he hurt, when he got hurt at. That's exactly what I thought. AAA.
But the Lucha Bros did get together at the AAA event this Saturday.
Yeah, they got together and they would look like they were about to go on a run. They looked like they was about to go on a run. Yeah. And it just sucked. The timing sucks. Hopefully it's something light. He can come back super quickly from it. Hopefully it's nothing.
Because Penta right now, he's hot. Love it, man. One of the best in-ring performers right now out there. Easily.
Yeah, he's great. Ray,
I love that.
I wish they would treat Ray Phoenix better because, like, Ray Phoenix is, I feel like he's a bit, like, and this might be controversial to say, I think he's a better wrestler than Penta. I don't think he has much aura. I don't think he has much aura as Penta, but, like, I feel like he's a better
technical
wrestler.
I've seen that before in the past. Even from when they were on Lucha Underground together, you can tell that they were.
I wouldn't disagree with you. That's embarrassing.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he should be a champion at some point, but they don't treat my boy well. They just treat him as fodder for whatever the tall guy is in the MFT. I can't remember his name right now.
Tala Tonga.
Yeah,
if you ever
treat him like
need
fodder.
To remember, Tala Tonga is the tall guy.
He cracks me up. He cracks me up. All his sidebar stuff that he does.
Yeah, me too.
Let's talk a little bit about last night's Raw. It opened up with the Tribal Chief opening up the show. And then the music was playing for about 10 minutes, I think. So the OTC opened the show. It was 10, 15 minutes of his music playing before he got to speak. And then we got 10 to 15 minutes of Cody Rhodes' music before they got to speak.
The best interest in sports and entertainment right now.
And then CM Punk showed up.
They wasted all of their pyro in the first 20 minutes of the show.
I mean, to be honest with you, it was really cool to see that, dude. It was good to see that CM Punk showed up with his title. And we got our first really look for him as a title holder, and it was pretty.
Hey, how about that comment that my tribal chief made? That title, that title would look better on my shoulders.
It would look real good. I said this when I was recording my reaction. I didn't put it in my video. I was like, I don't know how they're going to do it, but they need to have a triple threat between those three individuals, and a title needs to be, like, I don't know how you put two titles up with only one person wins it. I don't know how that works. Like, if you have a triple threat, both titles are up, but, like, you only win the title of the person.
Tribal Chief, could you?
No, please, no. Please, no.
Hey, I'm ready for another
rating days. All right. Jose, we need to give you some relaxing medicine today.
I'm ready.
Our Spotify listeners have their headphones on. You're yelling in their ears, bro.
He acknowledges his tribal chief.
No, it was good to see all three of them in the ring at the same time. It was good to see that there was still a lot of animosity, like the past. Then they just forget the past and all that. Go ahead, Jose.
Real quickly, as much as I hate triple threats matches, but that one I will definitely sign up to see. That one.
Oh, man. I think the plan going forward is going to end up with Punk versus Roman at WrestleMania. I think that's the direction they're going. But Joe, here's a clip idea for you that you can use while we're talking about this. You know how they were all talking in a row in the match and they were trying to figure out whose team this really is? You can put the Guardians of the Galaxy with Thor, where he was like, oh, it's my team.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, we all know this is the Tribal Chief's team, right? He's got the new throws behind him, you know?
Yeah, because he was like, when they were doing their backstage segment, and he told him, like, hey, whoever's team this is, y'all need to figure it out. And he just walked off, like, just giving orders. Like, it's your team, dog.
It is.
He's the captain, baby.
Anthony, Nathan, now that you're on here, what do you think about the Vision side, that Vision team, you know?
Oh, yes.
So I'm always curious why Drew McIntyre is always randomly thrown in a faction, like it happened with the Judgment Day.
Quickly, we just mentioned this last week. Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul, they just throw them everywhere. It's like, oh,
just everywhere, just, right?
Yeah, whenever they need a heel, they just throw them in there. And they always do a great job, but they don't know what to do with them at this moment, you know?
They're mercenaries at this point now.
Like, Drew, I don't want to say that his potential to win a world championship is diminishing at all, because I never think that is true. I think Drew McIntyre, in any situation, can always go after a title. But at some point, he has to win, right? Like, he just can't keep losing before you start losing faith. Like, at some point, he should win, right? Like, that should happen.
They cannot keep treating them like mercenaries, you know?
Yeah, at some point, you gotta win, right? And, like, I don't... Like, because, like, when I look at a faction like Division, the ultimate goal should be your younger talent winning a world championship, right?
It happened, you said it right now, happening with the Evolution when Jordan won, right?
Yeah. And as much as I'm glad as Roman Reigns is back, right? Like what does that do for Bronson Reed, who was supposedly put him on the shelf, right? Like, wasn't he supposed to like go beyond and then go? Like, I'm just really curious on how that's going to work for them. Because then you bring back Brock.
I wouldn't mind seeing Bronson and the Tribal Chief go at it again a couple of more times. Yeah. I think that story is just, it works to me.
Yeah, this could be another failing of Triple H. Triple H kind of waits too late, like a pay-per-view too late in doing things. Like, I'm happy that Bronson Reed won, but I feel like he should have won the pay-per-view before, right? Like when they were having that match, when he actually had the shoes instead of the street fight or whatever. Was that SummerSlam? I can't remember when it was.
That was SummerSlam.
Okay, so he should have won there and with Bron Breakker. Like, I know they had to put Seth Rollins out, but I think they probably jumped the gun a little bit too quickly, right? They could have kept him around or whatever. Like, he doesn't need to wrestle. Like, he didn't. Like, I think this is just me putting my Booker's hat on. So when they set up the tournament, when they vacated the title, they had this badass moment of him having the belt on his shoulder. He made Adam Pearce say please and all of this stuff, but you keep them out of the tournament for the championship. Like, why? Because Paul Heyman said backstage, like, oh, if you listen to me, I help all these other people be champion. You don't need to go out the right. What do you mean, Paul Heyman? Like, or if they're not going to be in a tournament, why didn't they interfere at the end of the tournament or interfere before CM Punk made it? That's why I feel like if they would have kept Seth Rollins around, it would have been a great story, because Seth Rollins made a promise. As long as he's alive, CM Punk will never win a championship. I would have loved to have him come out racing all on his arm, still interference. Like, I don't care if I have to lose this arm. You will never win a championship. Like, there's a lot of things they could have done. I just think they went with the safest choice.
They did.
Like, I feel, because like the reports was, it's not a big enough moment for Bron Breakker to win the championship, because it happened at what, at Saturday night's main event?
Yeah.
If you want it to be a big moment, make it a big moment. What a better way than get people talking about you crowning a new world champion in Bron Breakker. He should be champion. But It's cool. It's CM Punk. I love CM Punk. So that's fine too, I guess.
That's what you do.
It was good to see.
I don't have a problem with it either.
Yeah.
It was good to see CM Punk have his title, especially after he got robbed by Seth Rollins showing up. He only had the title for like 30 seconds. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
I think it would be funny if he just kept doing it. He was like,
I think this is the moment where, and I'm okay with it, saying, hey, have patience. You know, I think they're building for something later on, you know?
Yeah.
And this is a moment where you're like, just, I know you're not going to get what you want right now, but I think there's a longer story coming for that.
It's about stretching the story too, you know, and telling it correctly.
Which I agree with. It's just like, I'm at the point with Triple H booking where I question him about everything, right? Like, I gave him his grace period. I gave him his grace period. It was fun. It was a really good ride. And he's just made a lot of missteps as of late, in my opinion, right? To the point where I'm no longer giving him as much grace as I would have, right? It's the same thing with like Tony Khan in the beginning, right? It's like, okay, you had your missteps, fine, whatever. I was like, okay, I'll give you grace. But now everything is questioned. Like, okay, why did we make this choice? Like, when you had this option here. So yeah, I'm just at that point in Triple H's booking cycle where I'm like, okay, sure, whatever.
What do you think? I think he needs a break. I think somebody needs to step in, and I think somebody needs to grab a hold of WWE and, you know, start making things happen. You know, start making good decisions.
So I don't know if you saw the Stephanie McMahon's interview she did with Paul Heyman.
I saw bits of it.
Part of the interview is they were talking about how Vince McMahon hired Paul Heyman specifically to be a contrarian to Stephanie McMahon when she was like booking and stuff, right? To like just go in there and just say off the wall ideas to just get off. All right, I think one of the big issues for WWE at the moment is that they don't have anybody that's that dissenting voice within the creative. I could be totally wrong because I'm not part of the creative room, but it just feels like everything is too cohesive and nobody's back there saying like just off the wall stuff and have enough power to say that off the wall stuff, right? Because at the end of the day, the buck stops at Triple H.
He's surrounded.
So you're saying
with a bunch of yes men is what it is.
So what you're saying is Bobby Roode is not the guy.
Bobby Roode, man, I miss my glorious king. But like, I don't know if he has yes men in there or is that he doesn't have anybody over him to be a dissenting voice, right? Because like Vince McMahon at the end of the day could just rip up the script and do whatever, but he still had a lot of people doing the bulk of the work and getting the scripts, getting the ideas. And let me make this be clear. We do not need Vince McMahon back. He got lucky a lot. A lot of his stuff that he booked was shit. For all these people who keep saying like, oh, Vince McMahon, whatever. Y'all do not remember the horror that was Vince McMahon, the 3-week pushes and all that. No, stop that bullshit.
I'm glad you said that because I 100% agree. We do not need to bring Vince McMahon back. Those last 3 years of him was complete crap.
I mean, the business passed him by, clearly.
I think that's the cycle of every booker, right? It's like you got this 6-year window where you're on top of the world. Like everything you do is creatively great. If you just run out of ideas.
If Vince McMahon was still running the show, we would have the Usos fighting each other over who got Naomi pregnant, okay? That was McMahon storyline. You know?
Oh, absolutely. And then while they fighting over whose baby it is, it would have been Solo or somebody.
But let me say this.
Triple H.
Let me say this about Vince real quick, though. Mm. You know,
here comes the Vince defender.
When Vince had it together, he always had that group that gave him, you know, that actually told him what was wrong, what was bad, what was good. Mm-hmm. Like the Briscoe, right? And what's the guy's name? The first Intercontinental Champion, the first one ever. What's his name, man?
Patterson.
So Vince had all these guys around him to tell him, hey, that's a good idea, that's a bad idea. And it worked for a while, you know? Because listen, Vince was a good one, man. Vince was a good one. What happened to Vince was the business passed him by and he didn't want to let go. he saw that the product suffer, you know, the writing was on the wall after that.
I think Vince McMahon had two very good things going for him. The first thing is that Vince McMahon, and this goes for Triple H as well, they do their best work when their back's against the wall and the story that they had, something has happened to derail it, right? I feel like that's when you get the final boss. That's like when who got hurt? Somebody had got hurt and he had to pivot. Triple H and Vince McMahon, they do great when they have to pivot and they have to think on their feet, right? Yeah. Like when Bret Hart left and they had to rely on Stone Cold and they just caught lightning in a bottle. Like all of these different things when the Daniel Bryan, all of it, CM Punk, all of it, when things aren't going to their plans and they have to go left, that's when Vince McMahon and Triple H are at their absolute best. Another thing that really didn't work well for Vince McMahon is that he was working in a monopoly. He had no competition. Yeah. Vince McMahon suffers when he has nobody to compete
with. He's one of those guys that he needs to be pushed.
Yes, and I think that's another problem with Triple H is that he's trying to artificially create a competition where there technically is none for WWE. They're making one really quickly because like the ticket prices are insane. The values that they're getting out of the shows is not what it used to be. And a bevy of other different issues that's happening, like during all of these competing shows, running head to head against each other with no storyline, not really booking things. So they're making competition really quickly. I don't know if you've been seeing these AEW shows. They've been getting packed. They've been getting more bodies in there week after week.
Hey, a big shout out to Samoa Joe, huh? How about that?
World champ. Yeah.
Samoa Joe.
Yes. Like, I know a lot of people were mad about that, but I think the AEW's at its best when Hangman and Swerve are going after a title. Joe is great as a champion, as a heel champion. I think it was the right decision.
That's, you know, when we're talking about John Cena and his last run.
Yeah.
It's great to see Samoa Joe getting his last run because this probably will be the last time as champion for Samoa Joe.
I don't know what you're talking about. They're going to wrestle till they're 90. I don't know what you're talking about. They're wrestling till they're 90.
That is true. Joe,
AJ Styles, Tanahashi, all of them are wrestling till they're 90. They're not retiring.
Yeah, no. AJ already said he's retiring next year. But
I don't know.
Ric Flair did it. Ric Flair did it until, and so did Hogan. Hogan wrestled until forever, you know? So
I know. They're my childhood, man. Like,
I just watched a documentary on Samu and he wrestled until he couldn't anymore. So
it's like with Cena, it's like Superman putting up his cape, man. Like, I'm never going to hear, like, I'm not going to hear no.
You know, everybody in the show that watches the show knows that I am definitely not a John Cena fan. Never have. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you guys, I'm becoming nostalgic. Every time I see that little, you know, when that little clip with his memories, and then you see that little sack road, you see that little clips. I'm becoming nostalgic, man. Like, it's getting to me now.
No, I hated it. I hated every.
Oh yeah.
It reminded me of the worst parts of the Vince McMahon era. I hated it with a passion because they use Hornswoggle in a lot of those roles as well. I did not like it. I don't like those types of representation of people who are not the norm or whatever of society. I didn't like the Eugene, even though I do have nostalgic glasses for people like Eugene, but in hindsight, I can see like the shit was not that good. I did not like it.
It's always iffy when you have situations like that, but I think it was them because it's a very much a Latino AAA thing when you have like the smaller people come out. I remember recently almost Omos had a thing in a, like a battle royal in AAA.
That was great.
So I think it was them touching on Dom being that character and bringing that out. I think it was more about a Latino AAA thing because it's common in Lucha Libre to have, you know, small wrestlers. So maybe it came off wrong, but I thought it was a little humorous.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably see objectively the comedy in it, and it's probably a cultural thing that I'm not aware of. And if that's it, then I'm sorry that I'm speaking out in ignorance.
Oh, yeah.
But when he was trying to get into the ring and he just kept hopping and trying to get, like, I saw it as them trying to get heat on Dom, but he was already getting booed to the point where he couldn't speak. I thought it was just going to be the Shawn Michaels pretend like, oh, you really thought John Cena was going to show up? Like, no, right? It is what it is. I would rather have had...
I never thought I'd say this about John Cena, but I'm getting sad that he's going. It's really hitting me now.
And every time I see, like, every time, man, it hurts, man.
I tell you, for not being a John Cena fan, I tell you, man, it's hitting me now.
I have a very complicated relationship with John Cena. It's because, like, he was my childhood, but, like, I was becoming a preteen, then teenager, when he was on top. And so, like, he didn't lose. And, like, I really wanted him to lose because there were other people that I enjoyed, like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and all of these other peoples, like Bray Wyatt, and all of these folks. And John Cena, like, he wouldn't lose. And it's like the Nexus, and he just wouldn't go down. Like, people don't understand when we say Super Cena, what we really mean by Super Cena. That man would not lose. Between him and Randy Orton, it was a year like they was doing hot potato with the world championship.
Anthony, trust us. We understand because we grew up in the Hogan era, and Hogan never lose either. I mean, we understand completely.
Like, if people would go back to, like, the legendary when he tore his pectoral off the muscle, the bone, and he came back so fast, like,
at the Royal Rumble, he came back.
Yeah, at the Royal Rumble. And you can see, like, for a second, like, people are excited to see John Cena. It's like, oh my God, John Cena's here. And they quickly go back to, like, oh, we can't stand John Cena. And they boo that man. Right? Because
you know what, I have a lot of respect for him. Because no matter whether you booed him or you cheered him on, he loved the fans, man. He loved the WWE universe.
And that's why I love him, because, like, John Cena gave guys that I loved and appreciated a chance to shine. When they got a chance to shine, like AJ Styles, like CM Punk, he gave them Rob Van Dam. He gave them a big enough spotlight where, like,
yes, he was always gracious with his time with all the wrestlers. Ready to push another wrestler.
Like, and I don't know him personally, but, like, you just hear stories about, like, his Make-A-Wish stuff, him giving up all his time.
He's a great ambassador. He's
such a great ambassador. That's why he deserves it. And, like, I would go on a limb and say that he's probably the greatest of all time. It's fine. Like, you can argue that. Well, argument
17, listen, 17 titles is not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's the mark.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, John Cena.
It's a run.
Yeah, John Cena was, like, he was the first wrestler where I could watch their entire career, right? Because I saw him come up, I saw his debut against Kurt Angle. The only time I can say I truly enjoyed John Cena is whenever he was going up against Edge, because I hated Edge with a passion.
Here's what we'll do, guys. I want to bring you back, Anthony, and we'll have a full John Cena episode.
We'll discuss
a lot of matches, what he meant to the industry, and all that good stuff. One more thing we got to mention on this show is we talked about the titles, we talked about the John Cena tournament, we talked about the men's side of the War Games. Let's talk a little bit about the women's side of War Games. I want to talk about Becky Lynch, Asuka, the Kabuki Warriors, Nia Jax. Lash Legend is part of the main roster now. And then we got AJ Lee, Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Alexa Bliss, and Charlotte are on that team for some reason. So I kind of want to talk about that. Last night, Alexa Bliss was too short to be trying to jump on Lash Legend. Lash Legend is a tall, tall woman.
And that's a mother of a woman.
Of course she is.
Look, let me tell you this, man. I was so worried about Lash Legend because there were rumors that they were sending her back down to Evolve. I was like, look, man, if you screw this up, I will go down to Titan Towers and find whoever I need to find. Because how dare you? How dare you?
No, I'm glad she's on. I'm glad for whenever somebody of color is on the main roster, and so good for her.
So I'm glad because they needed.
And she's
they
getting, needed another getting featured. Big
girl. Yeah, yeah. I feel like they needed another heavy. I think that's what the women's rosters was missing. I think they needed another heavy somebody who can fill that, like that Kevin Nash. And, I think they were missing.
And she's on SmackDown. And Jade is the champion there, so you never know.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, this is not the match that I wanted for War Games. I really wanted a TLC match, like the tag team TLC match for the women's tag team, because you had Io Sky and Rhea Ripley. You had Charlotte and Alexa. You had the Kabuki Warriors. It seems like they were lining up to do it. If you want to put Nia Jax and Lash Legend in that, I think that would have tore the house down, right? I thought it would have been funny because, like, if Becky Lynch was like, I'm not going to let Charlotte have anything over me, I'm going to drag somebody as a tag team and go join this match. Like, if she would have dragged Maxine, like, I'm about to drag you kicking and screaming. You're going to work with me because I need to go beat this girl.
That would have been better for Becky Lynch to go one-on-one with, what's her name?
AJ Lee.
With AJ Lee? Have a one-on-one bit?
I think it's better here because you can, because that's a big money match. That's probably something you want to do at like a WrestleMania or something.
WrestleMania.
Or like the elimination change. I don't know if they can stretch that out long enough to, well, AJ Lee's not on TV that much, so they probably could. But I don't know if that's what you want to do, stretch that story out so long. So probably not. I think it's I think it's best if they do like that, if you want to protect it in this way or something.
I think that's a WrestleMania match.
Well, absolutely. It's two generations, two that's like right next to each other. One who should have had the career that Becky Lynch had but couldn't. One who's having the career because of AJ Lee. So yeah, it's a perfect match. And my brother will kill me if I don't say this right now. Becky Lynch is the greatest of the four horsewomen. There, I said it.
Hold on, listen.
My brother would have a fit if I didn't say this. If I don't say it.
That's right.
Man, it's tough because I still have feelings for Mercedes Moné, and she's got
me
14
too.
Up now, you know?
Oh, too. But my brother would really do me bodily harm if I don't mention it.
Oh, good. Talking about Mercedes Moné. Much shout out to her for what she's doing over there on the other side, man.
Mm.
Great career that she built up, you know?
Oh, yeah, working out great. So I want to get back to War Games match real quick. So, like, with the War Games match, it's really cool because you can set up a lot of different stories. I think we're getting to the point where we're going to slowly start breaking up Charlotte and Alexa. I can see how that story is going to go. I think it's going to be Alexa that turns on Charlotte, and I can already hear the promo that Charlotte could give. Like, she could tell Alexa, like, you made me care about wrestling, you made me smile, and then you broke my heart. Ooh, could you imagine that? That'd be so sick. Io and Rhea are always a good time in the ring together. They can always continue to have excellent matches. Nia Jax in Last Legend can always be disruptors. Becky Lynch, I think it's time for her to be in the world title picture again. So that'd be great if she can navigate her way up to the world title picture, because no offense to Nikki Bella, but like, she's just not doing it for me. And that's because I've never been a Bella fan. So like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I think somebody's gonna be traded for sure.
I
don't know who. I don't know what's gonna happen, but somebody's gonna be traded 100%.
Yeah, because if you look at like all the history, especially, I love Becky's promo that she was going like in the ring where she was having.
Yes,
like she was like just running everybody down, and I was like, she's strong, but I'm stronger. It's fine.
Yeah, it makes a great story, man. It really does.
Listen, Sports Illustrated said,
but like Becky is. Is so good at making other people great around her, and like she has history with Nia Jax, right? And so like that's something there. Nia Jax always says like, I'm the reason why you're so over in the first place, so they have tension there, right? Asuka and Kairi are always an option of doing whatever the hell they want to do because they're like Joker and Harley Quinn at this point. You never really know what the heck is going on. So that's something that could happen. It's really intriguing where they can go with it. And I'm excited. I know it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
Oh, go ahead.
Also, like, I know at some point, Io Sky and Charlotte Flair are going to do something off the top rope, top of the cage or something. Probably Alexa Bliss as well with the Twisted Bliss. Somebody's going off that cage.
My issue with this match is that over on the men's side, you have several champions there, several former champions there, and all that stuff. You have several former champions here on the female side, but it would have been nice to see Jade Cargill or Stephanie Baker in this somehow, some way, fit her in there. It would have been nice to see one of the champions in there, you know? But that's my only issue with it, because it doesn't feel like, even last night in Raw, they said, this is an all-star team that they have going on, you know? And it doesn't feel that way on the women's side so much.
I think the match within itself is going to be great. I think the performance within the ring, inside the ring, is going to be awesome. I think that there's going to be a lot of high flying, a lot of great moves. It wouldn't surprise me if I see new moves from everybody there. It's so intriguing to me, the betrayal part of it. Somebody's going to turn on somebody. That's what I'm looking for.
I think one of the problems with War Games is War Games is built for a faction. It needs some type of faction within it. It works really well with the faction. Right. That's why, like, if you had the Kabuki Warriors in Judgment Day, I don't know how that would have worked together. If you had these big factions together, working together, that probably would have done something. The story is there. The story is there. I think the odd two people out is AJ and Becky, because the story is there between Charlotte and Charlotte, Alexa, the Kabuki Warriors, Rhea and Ia. The story's there. It's just you putting them as teams when they all should be going after each other in some capacity, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just want to mention something since you brought up factions. This Friday on SmackDown, there's going to be a classic Survivor Series match, elimination match, between the MFTs and the Wyatt Six. And I think it's nice that they're paying homage to the original Survivor Series.
Yes.
Those elimination matches is what we grew up with.
Absolutely.
See two factions like that that need to go up against each other. I think it's good.
I thought that was going to be the War Games match too.
Yeah, me too.
But I get, but hey, it's bigger names on the ticket, so I guess that makes sense if you're a business
and whatever. Yeah, I guess, you know, like War Games has taken over the Survivor Series franchise pretty much.
Yeah.
And just like in WrestleMania, you no longer have that Andre the Giant, the Battle Royal anymore.
Battle Royal.
You have it now. Yep. Now you have it on the SmackDown before. So now we're having a classic Survivor Series match on the SmackDown before, and I don't mind that.
I don't mind it. Yeah, like how I don't mind they put the mid-card belts on the pay-per-view before, like if the pay-per-view stack, like fine, that's fine. We'll have the title here. That's fine with me. Even though sometimes I wish that this is a pay-per-view caliber match, they should be on pay-per-view. And I think my tone has changed because CM Punk came out. It's like, hey, we don't get paid more for going on pay-per-views and stuff like that. So that's fine with me.
Hey, Anthony, we're coming up on an hour, so I want you to promote your channel, promote your TikToks and all that stuff. Give me your last words, anything you have before the show ends, you know?
All right, cool. Maxxine Dupri is going to shock people, and I can't wait for people to see how good she is becoming. She's going to be a future star. But you can find me all on TikTok at @KidMoolahs_Jack, J-A-X. If you want to just look up Anthony Devon, I'm there. I am just talking about wrestling. I talk about other things that come to my mind, teaching stuff. I talk about movies, comic books, whatever. So yeah, you can find me there. And I appreciate you all for having me. This is always a good time talking about
You're
wrestling.
You're always welcome
this
on
is
the show.
Fun.
Any last words before the show ends? Jose, go for it.
Thank you guys for your support. Continue supporting, please. Let us know what we can improve. Let us know what you guys want us to talk about next time. And like always, it's great to see our great friend to the show, Anthony Devon. It's always great to have him here. This is his home too. So Anthony, you're more than welcome anytime you want, brother.
It's always great to be here, man.
All right, so that's going to wrap up today's Maxed Out. Big thanks to Anthony for dropping in and helping us break the road to Survivor Series is coming up here. November 29th, be there. Make sure you subscribe to us on Spotify and YouTube, and we're over on TikTok as well. So we will see you next week for a post-Survivor Series show. And Anthony, you promised us a John Cena show, so we'll bring you back on for something like that soon.
Oh, right? It's going to happen. It's going to be fun. That's going to be awesome.
Have a good week, everybody.